In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Having just returned to this country from wandering about Central and Eastern Europe for a while, there are any number of words in our text this morning that really resonate for me. Brokenhearted, captive, prisoner, grieving, mourning, ashes. Almost 2 months ago to this very day, 13 people froze to death on the streets of Moscow, and another couple hundred went to the hospital with frostbite in just the first October snow. And the wounded and the dying are returning from Chechnya day after day after day. And I wonder from time to time about the people who spent not 20 minutes on 40, but 42 hours in a train coming to listen to me lecture. And I wonder if they have enough to eat already this early in the winter. I think of conversations with Guntis Kalma about a grade school teacher of his who retired just at the wrong time when the pensions were fixed and the cost of living was soaring. A man who, after faithful service to the young people of his nation, after 40 years, can only afford the rent and has to depend on family for food. Or I think about Robert Feldmanis, the instructor of church history in the underground seminary in Riga for more than a generation, who just 60 years ago witnessed the execution of his mentor, his instructor in church history, and one of two good friends at the hands of the Soviets, who himself spent 8 years in what he calls his special study program in the camps in Siberia. And in that part of the world, it's not just a matter of the bad old days. The taste of freedom has turned to ashes. You can't eat freedom, and you can't enjoy it without much to eat. The taste of freedom has turned to grief in 10 years, for freedom Western style has turned out to be just another word for exploitation and corruption and pornography and unemployment. And it's not just grief and mourning half a world away. To return to the United States is to experience the death of a person you knew only as a baby 25 years ago, or to open up the newspapers to see that corruption and crime haven't ceased here either. And it's not just a matter of ashes and mourning out there. It's the ashes and mourning of our own souls, of our own hearts, that afflict us most this morning as we struggle with our own fears and failures, as we confront the temptations that the world and the devil throw at us with suggestions that would make life easier at God's expense by leaning upon the people around us. Amid the celebration, the coming celebration of our Lord's birth, the disappointments seem all the greater, the questions seem all the more pressing about why we can't get our own lives straightened out and do a better job of being spouses and parents, of why we can't do a better job of being professors and students. The world, we need this one whom Isaiah announced, the one who came anointed with the Spirit of the Lord, the one who came to comfort and to bind up and to rescue people just like you and me. Jesus of Nazareth stood before his friends and relatives and acquaintances in Nazareth and claimed to be this anointed one. He claimed to be the one who was introducing the year of the Lord's favor, the day on which the Lord takes vengeance on his enemies and ours. He claimed to be the one who had come to share the oil of gladness, the crown of beauty, the one who came to dress his people up in a righteousness that means a new identity for you and for me. And Paul tells us that we are indeed those people who have been able to put on Christ, to be dressed up in this righteousness, this new integrity, this kind of identity. I always hate the saying, clothes make the man. I, above all people, I suppose, don't want to be judged by the way I look, but by the person I am. And yet there is something to it, I must admit. We all feel just a little bit better. We are aware of the fact that we make just a little bit better impression. We know that somehow in new duds, things just go better. And putting on the robe of the Lord's righteousness, of course, is even different than that. For putting him on means that our whole lives are permeated with what he brings to us. A whole new way of life, a whole new identity. We not only look like his bride with jewels of love for the neighbor that are attractive, we are his bride, and we have a new name bestowed with the garments of his righteousness in our baptism. We not only have the garland of the priesthood upon our heads, we are his priests. We are those bridges that he builds into the lives of our neighbors to come to the brokenhearted and the captive and the prisoners with the message of this servant, with the person of this servant who has changed our lives. You remember, little boys particularly, I think, get this look of horror on their face when mom or dad comes with new, stiff, scratchy clothes and says, "We're going to make you look good for grandma." At times like that, we assert our identity. The terrible twos come back and we insist upon our rags. But mom or dad win out, and so has our God. Even though the circumstances of our lives sometimes don't seem much different, and some of us are looking forward to Christmas with hearts that are breaking, and we feel imprisoned by our own mistakes and our failures and our love of certain sins. We feel captive to inadequacies of one kind or another. Nonetheless, the Anointed One of the Lord is here on this day once again to come to you and to me and to say, "We are going to dress you up so that your Father will know who you are, who you really are." And he puts again upon us, through the power of this word, the garments of his salvation, the clothing of his righteousness. It is the clothing, it is the righteousness that Robert Feldmanis, that Latvian church historian, wore to the camps in Siberia. It is the clothing that my students wore as they trekked across Russia in the midst of poverty and despair. It is the clothing that you and I not only wear, but it is the clothing that has given us our new identity on this day. It is the clothing, it is Jesus Christ, who identifies us as people who have every reason to exult in the Lord and praise his name in word and in deed, for we are his children, dressed up, fit for the king. That's true because that's the way he is, a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of righteousness. And because that's the way he is, it's the way we are. And that's the way it is on this 12th day before the festival of the Nativity of our Lord in his year 1999. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.